We're News Talk 1590 KVTA Ventura.
The following is a paid program. Gold Coast Broadcasting is not responsible for its content.
M. Spence receives additional compensation for his participation during this paid program.
It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hi, and welcome to another edition in our weekly series on divorce. Today, our main topic of discussion is stress and divorce. If you have any questions about your divorce or maybe a friend or family member's going through a divorce, call us on this number, 805-650-1590. 805-650-1590. Lisa Zonder is our divorce attorney. Jerry Cohen talks money matters. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Colin.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Colin.
Lisa, Friday nights for Lisa is concert nights. So did you boogie down last night?
No, I didn't boogie down, but I saw Steve Vai.
Oh, how cool was that? Tell us about
Guitar Mastermind. I saw him at the Majestic Ventura Theater. And friends of ours, Philip Bino on bass and Jeremy Coulson on drums.
That's
and
very
it was a
cool.
Terrific show. Had a great chance to chat with Philip and meet Jeremy before the show. And I just want to say, great show, guys. And also, we spent a little bit of time near Chestnut Street, downtown Ventura, and ate at a great restaurant called Lore. And two thumbs up on that restaurant. It was terrific.
Wonderful. It's one way of dealing with stress, right? Let it all hang out.
Sounds good to me.
Wonderful. Okay. We also have two special guests, marriage family therapist Jennifer Burton, who is with us in the studio today. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Welcome. And Elaine Miller-Karras, have I pronounced that correctly, Elaine?
Yes, you did.
Welcome. You're on the line. Elaine is a clinical social worker. Lisa, there's no way around it. Divorce is stressful. Not even those rare, enviable couples who manage to call it quits amicably walk away without a few divorce-related stress factors in their lives. What types of stress do divorce clients bring to the table?
As a divorce lawyer and mediator, I observe many clients who get caught in a divorce fog, or they seem like they're flooding. Clients seem to express a lot of fears about financial and legal issues, where they live, how they're going to pay their bills, how they're going to share parenting time. And so I've had really wealthy clients, in that stress mode tell me that they're living with the heat turned off, even though they're multimillionaires. And they said they weren't sure if they could afford their utility bills. So definitely stress plays a huge factor. I've even had a client report a fear of being left homeless, even though they had equity in their residence of over $700,000 and tons of assets to divide. So go figure.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, in addition to the difficulties of ending a relationship, you'll also have to deal with finances. This could be particularly tricky if there's an atmosphere of mistrust because of the breakup. Many divorces actually are caused by money issues. What are some of your experiences as a divorce CPA?
Yeah, that's a good question, because most divorce, as Lisa just mentioned, even if it's not really an issue as important as some of the others, everyone's concerned about money. They're concerned about, are they going to have enough to live on? Couples that have, enough assets to divide and enough income to cover both, they're worried about, I'm going to have to, where am I going to live? If we're going to sell the house, I have to buy a new one. Will I have enough? How much tax am I going to owe on the settlement? We'll touch some of those later. But
so much stress, right?
A lot of stress.
Okay. You know what they say, love is grand, divorce is 100 grand, right?
That's about right.
Okay. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. This week we're focusing on coping with stress during divorce, a very, very stressful time. If you have any question about divorce or dealing with stress, etc., we have experts in the studio. You're welcome to call us on 805-650-1590. Our studio guests this week, first of all, we have Jennifer Burton in the studio. I've introduced Jennifer. Jennifer is a licensed marriage family therapist, certified EMDR therapist, and expressive arts therapist in Los Angeles. Jennifer has worked with the Trauma Resource Institute, TRI, since 2006, is that right?
That's right.
And I believe you also have a private practice specializing in trauma and attachment issues with children, adults, couples, and families. Tell us a little about your background.
Well, Originally, I was actually licensed in San Francisco and moved back to Los Angeles, where I'm from, in 2001, and worked for about 10 years at a hospital-based program, a Medicare-run program for chronically mentally ill adults. And I led dance movement groups there and process-oriented groups, and actually met Elaine, who's on the line, during my time there at the hospital, and started working with the Trauma Resource Institute and the models that are taught through there, and over time became a master trainer with TRI, and work now a lot with Elaine, actually side by side with Elaine, teaching these skills.
Now, you mentioned dance therapy, if we can mm-hmm. digress for just a second.
Sure.
How does that work?
Well, it's interesting because dance movement therapy really is about attuning to another person, but through movement and mm-hmm. through music. So I would lead groups of about, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25 people. And I would pick a playlist that usually would match with whatever likes were going on in the room.
And the age group, I would imagine.
And the
well.
Age group, yes. Absolutely both. Mm-hmm. Although I have seen 80-year-olds get down to hip-hop music, too.
Fantastic.
So it's both, for sure.
That's wonderful. Elaine is a licensed clinical social worker and serves as the executive director, co-founder of the Trauma Resource Institute, a nonprofit corporation. Her work has taken her to fantastic places, Kenya in Africa, Haiti, Thailand, China, many places within the United States, in the aftermath of natural and man-made disasters. She has co-created the Trauma Resiliency Model, TRM, and the Community Resiliency Model. She's on the line right now. Welcome to the show, Elaine, once again. You must have some very hair-raising stories to tell.
Yes, I have. I've been to many places after the most devastating disasters of our times. But I also, I think, more than anything, also see the resiliency that exists in humankind as I travel to these different places around the globe.
Mm-hmm. What, can you explain, please, what the TRI is?
Yeah, the Trauma Resource Institute, our mission is to help people and communities learn how to bring health and well-being back to their body, mind, and spirit after, you know, highly charged traumatic events or stressful events like, you know, earthquakes, but also the regular activities of daily living or the things that impact us like divorce. Our mission is to create capacity wherever we go. So whether we're here in the Los Angeles area or we're going to Africa or Haiti, we train people to be trainers so that they can provide these kinds of skills to their own communities with their own cultural lens. So our primary goal also is to create what we call resiliency-informed and trauma-informed communities mm-hmm. based on biological skills that come from cutting-edge neuroscience.
So do you select a certain group of people or a certain type or a profile of a kind of person that you would want to train and have them move into that position to help others?
Oh, that's a great question. When we are invited to go into areas, let's say Haiti after the earthquake, we usually are paired with an organization that has already built some kind of community on the ground. So many times they're selected for us before we come in, but many areas of the world do not have trained marriage family therapists or social workers or psychologists like we have here in the United States. So that's where our community model has evolved, that we've learned that we can train community members, even individuals who are illiterate, in our model because it's based on the body. And our body reacts in very similar ways, whether we live here in Ventura County or L.A. County, or we live in Haiti, Africa, or China.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to a bunch of other questions I have for you, but we have Linda on the line. Linda, are you're listening to us, right?
I am listening.
Hi, go ahead. You have a question.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, this has to do with divorce and everything. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Any question about divorce. We have
attorneys,
right. Social workers, accountants, everybody. We even have a paralegal here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, her name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Linda.
Well, you know what? I have recently tried to refi, and what a mess that was, let me tell you. But I have been divorced for 13 years, and because I'm an older mom, I have a 16-year-old daughter, it's just been so difficult. And, you know, she'll be going off to college in a couple of years, and I'm trying to figure out how I can survive. I never worked, you know, a full-time job that made lots of money. And it just seems like I don't quite understand. I'm from Massachusetts originally, and most people there get their child support until the kids have finished college, which makes it easier for a single mom. But out here, I think I'm going to be struggling. I just hope I don't have to live on the street. Why are some states different than others when it comes to support? Like California is an 18-year, right, just 18 years. That's one question I have. And I guess for the stress, how do you deal with this stress? Because it stresses me to the max, trying to figure out how I'm going to be surviving, yet try to take care of a child that's in college.
Well, let's have Lisa answer the first question about the states and the law as it applies to various states. And then perhaps, Jennifer, you can take the next question on stress. Or Elaine, even. Yes.
Hi, Linda. Lisa. This is Lisa. So you asked a question about why different states have different child support laws.
Yeah.
And there is no nationwide or federal law that applies for child support. So each state is free to set its own guidelines. And that's what California does. They have guidelines that go by a formula. And, you know, all of the attorneys and the judges use pretty much the same software to calculate and arrive at a child support calculation. And the statute is pretty clear that the child support goes till the children are 18 or until 19 if they haven't graduated high school. So that's just the way the law is written in California. There isn't too much to do about it. And what some people do if they have concerns about how to pay bills after the child support is ended is they try and figure out if they can have private agreements on college support, and or some other couples will put together 529 savings accounts. But I think Jerry maybe can talk to this a little bit more in with particularity.
I have a question relating to that. If someone gets divorced, say, in New York State and moves to California, do the laws of New York State apply to the person living in California?
Yeah, generally the case is going to stay where the original orders are unless somebody applies to transfer those. And generally with child support, they're going to end up staying where they are. And that's the way the case usually goes. But there are some exceptions to that.
And we're going to address the issue of stress now. Jerry, you had a response to Linda's question.
Yeah, Linda, I would suggest that you take a look at your budget. It's certainly understanding that you're concerned and it's a stressful situation not knowing if you're going to have enough money to cover everything. I would start out by taking a real serious look about what all your expenses are, what you think your options on college, if you're maybe able to contribute some, or look into different plans that state and some local areas offer. So I would start with trying to put a budget together and then maybe work with a financial planner to see if you could get as close as you can to meet your needs.
Jennifer, you have a response.
I think the difficulty with stress is, like, you know, all of these suggestions are really important and things to follow up with. And what we know, which we'll talk more about probably in a bit during this broadcast, is that when you're dress rehearsing tragedy in your mind, your body actually has a response. And so when we're living in a state of fear, it's very difficult to do those tasks like Jerry was just talking about. And I don't know, Elaine, if you want to also add on to that as well.
Yes,
yeah,
please,
I want to say one thing, that sometimes the caller, that sometimes stress is a good thing, mm-hmm. because it prompts us, for instance, to pick up the phone and call and ask individuals online if they had advice for you. So stress can call us to action. But if the stress remains too chronic and if it doesn't go away, then it can bump us out of what we call our resilient zone, and what Jennifer is saying. Then we have a hard time focusing, and we can feel fuzzy and foggy, like Lisa mentioned earlier, and not be able to take care of those kinds of tasks. But some stress is actually good for us because it prompts us into action.
Are you happy with those responses,
Linda?
Does it help you?
Oh, I'm very happy.
Good.
Do I have time, or do you have another caller?
Well, do you have another question?
Well, I am considering moving from California to Massachusetts. I just wonder, you know, if you can't get a lot of money for your home, how the heck do you survive going? Because Massachusetts is really no cheaper than what it is out here. I just don't know. You know, even though I have family there, you can't really depend on family all the time.
Mm-hmm. Jerry?
For things, you know, so I guess I just don't know how you would try to work that situation.
Yeah, I would recommend you go back to the budgeting issue, and before you make any decisions or even look into it too seriously, you know, really give a hard look at what you think, again, it would cost to move there. What do you think it may be a higher cost of living than you are used to now, what you may be able to cut, what you're going to be faced with. I think it always helps to stress if you have some idea what you're faced with before you make any commitments.
Well, thanks for the call, Linda.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
If you have any questions on how best to deal with stress during your divorce or any divorce-related question, please call 805-650-1590. Make a note of that number, 805-650-1590, to talk to our panel of experts, which consists of our attorney, Lisa Zonder, financial expert, Jerry Cohen, and our special guests, Jennifer Burton, a marriage family therapist, and Elaine Miller-Karras on the line. She's a licensed clinical social worker.
Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. ZonderFamilyLaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email Lisa at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas.
And the number in the studio for you to call right now is 805-650-1590. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Lori is on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
You have a question.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm going through a divorce currently, and let's see, it was a 21-year marriage, and I have to support this man who hasn't had a job in like 8 years, and I'm totally stressed out. I'm pissed off, and one of the lawyers said, well, you'll probably have to support him for several years, and I'm thinking, why should I have to support him? So needless to say, I've been losing sleep. I feel like, I have to support this guy who was able to work before, and it's going to cost me, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month for, you know, how long? I don't know. What's my question? I guess, let's see. During this time, I'm not quite sure. I have three girls that I also have to support, and without having my anger kind of dealt with on them, how am I supposed to do this?
Elaine, over to you for that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think I'd like to ask you is, like, you know, how, what has helped you get through hard times in the past?
I guess being productive, like exercising and stuff. But I feel more like throwing things rather than...
You feel more like throwing things. Well, you know, sometimes if we go back to things that have helped us in the past, that can be helpful to us. But when you talk about feeling like throwing things, our models are based on the biology of the body. And what you're talking about is a very normal defensive response, that when we feel trapped by something, we sometimes have very angry feelings. And there's things sometimes that go through our mind that are not the best things for us to act upon. But yet it's important for us to release that anger in some way. And so what we've learned is that if you can learn to what we call regulate your nervous system, it can actually help you deal with some of those angry feelings, because those angry feelings are in your body, aren't they?
Yeah.
And is that kind of why you can't sleep at night? Because you start thinking about, oh, my gosh, I have to support him. What about the girls? And all those things that kind of like a hamster in a wheel, you start thinking about all the thoughts that then you can't sleep.
because then does your heartbeat sometimes beat a little fast, and you're feeling like a little bit like trembling on the inside as you think about the things that you have to do?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Oh, how did I know that? Physiological responses to stress. So we have some very precise skills that you can learn, and they're very simple. We've taught them to little children. We've taught them to adults. You know, one of the questions that is often posed to us is, who can learn this? Actually, anyone can learn them. And we actually have an called an iChill app that you can download for free and learn the skills on your own. And we actually even have ways that you can practice the skills that they give you prompts on the app in order to help you stabilize your nervous system. Because
oh,
as long as you're in that kind of what we call a stress response, it really is not meant for sleeping. It's meant for defending yourself. And that's why it can become very difficult to sleep when you're in the midst of the stress that you're experiencing.
Does that help you, Lori?
Yeah, that does. I just have one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I guess there's a CPA there today?
Yes, Jerry.
Okay. Hi. Now, in this support, I basically chose to buy out his share of my house. So I have to come up and instead of paying monthly payments, which would add to my stress and anger and inability to sleep, I'm just going to pay him one lump sum. Now, one of my mediator people said that the CPA would be able to tell me how much that lump sum would be. And how do they figure that out?
Well, it's going to be based on what's written in the settlement agreement. There are different ways to do it. It's hard to answer that without having more detailed information.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa, do you have an input on that, or Jerry?
I think maybe what you're talking about is when you calculate a lump sum, you're looking at the present value of the lump sum payment because you're paying it the dollars up front all at once rather than streaming it in monthly over time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And also
about
discounting for taxes because the payment would normally be tax deductible for the person who's actually making the payment. So the payor would have a tax deduction, and the person who's receiving the support would have a tax obligation, so it would be includable in their income. So maybe Jerry can speak to that for a minute.
Yeah, if that's the case, then the math could be worked out. And again, it goes back to what the settlement agreement said. If you're doing something including tax or instead of tax, the calculation could be a few different ways. It would be, again, helpful to go back and see exactly what was written into the settlement agreement, but there may be a few answers to this.
So, Jerry, I have a question about that. If the house is sold as part of the settlement agreement, will there be any income tax due?
It depends. When it's transferred between two parties that were married, it probably not. If it's sold on the outside market, it would then depend on how long you've owned it and how much the difference between what you paid for and what you sold for, the gain. There is an exclusion for a married couple of $500,000. If the gain is less than that, there will probably not be a tax. If it gets transferred to one person and now one person owns it, then they wouldn't have that same availability with the exemption.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. The number to call is 805-650-1590. A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Here's a question aimed at our panel personally. Let me start with Lisa. Lisa, your job in itself must be very stressful. I'm sure it is. Dealing all day with feuding couples and trying to help them get their act together. How do you personally handle the stress that the job brings?
Oh, for myself personally?
Yes.
Usually with a personal trainer and exercise. That usually works for me and doing things that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And what about you, Jennifer? How do you deal with it? Because, I mean, you're face-to-face with these situations all the time. And it must bring a certain amount of stress at you, right?
Well, honestly, I actually use the skills that we teach in this model on a regular basis, because that way I don't have to hold on to all the stress in my body. I've learned ways through this model to track or watch my body. And in fact, we can call it like the GPS of the body, if
yes.
you will, you know, that we can track those body sensations. And then I can then work with the stress to find places in my body where I feel less stressed and focus my awareness there. And then it helps me to let it go and to be able to reduce that.
Right.
And by also teaching these skills to other people, then I find the whole stress in the room kind of changes.
And it transfers back onto yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
And what about you, Elaine?
Well, I also use the skills. One of the skills is called resources, and it's really calling to mind the person, places, things that really give us joy, comfort, or calm. And I have many resources. I have my family. I love Barbara Streisand. I have my dog. Things like that.
Why not?
But it's not just thinking about them. One of the ways that our model is a little bit different, it's bringing it to sensation. We help people distinguish between sensations of distress and upset and sensations of well-being and resiliency. And so, for example, if I think of something, one of my resources, and then I sense it in my body, it actually expands it. And what we believe, it creates new pathways between our brain and our body that actually strengthens the resource and helps us to come back into that resiliency zone more readily.
I read somewhere doing some research that exercise, staying in touch with your friends, staying productive, and forgiveness and moving on are great factors in dealing with stress. What about you, Jennifer? Do you concur?
Well, I absolutely concur. And I think, you know, to piggyback on what Elaine was just talking about, the importance of the body being a piece of that is really key. So like when Lisa's talking about going to a personal trainer and exercising, what we might suggest from our model is then noticing what shifts or what happens inside after you've exercised. So what feels better, you know, or do you have more vitality or more energy in your system after you exercise, or feel like you've released some stuck energy from
yes.
the body? And I think that's the piece that sometimes gets missed. You know, we might exercise or we might sit and meditate or do whatever we do to cope with stress, but we forget to check in with how that's changing physiologically what's going on inside.
Yes. Jerry, how do you deal with it?
As similar with Lisa, I find exercise does help. You know, sometimes just taking a quick walk outside or taking a little break. Also, I kind of try to focus on the issue I'm trying to help the couple or individual with, and not bring it into you know, my stress, and try to kind of be creative and find some options. And it also helps being married to a therapist, so I could come home at night and talk to her about it.
That's wonderful.
There you go, marry a therapist.
Also in the studio today, Lisa's paralegal, Sharon. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi.
You're in direct line of fire when having to deal with stressed out clients. Your job is no less stressful, I would imagine. What's your secret when dealing with stress?
Well, firstly, I don't take it personal. I'm very empathetic. I listen, but I don't take it personally. And when I do go home at night, if I don't have the option of going to the gym, I have to go and cook dinner for my family, I do what Dr. Callie Torres does on Grey's Anatomy. She dances in a kitchen while cooking.
Although in her underwear.
Not in my underwear, no, but that's what I do.
Well, that's one way of dealing with it. Lisa, could stress be linked to illness?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not an expert on the topic, but what I do know, and maybe Jennifer can speak to that in just a minute, I am aware of a study by two psychiatrists from over 40 years ago. And what they did was they examined records of over 5,000 people to see what the link is between stress and illness. And they did find that a life stressor of some kind was present in all of the cases. And then they asked the patients to rate on a scale of 0 to 100 how stressful the event was that they were experiencing. And so they devised this rating scale called the Holmes, tell me if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Rahe, R-A-H-E scale. And that is designed to measure how likely it is that you're going to become ill. And so if you score 150 or less, then you have a slight risk. If you score 150 to 300, then you have a moderate risk of becoming ill. And if you scored over 300, you face a significant risk of becoming ill. And so here's the important point. While the death of a spouse shows up on the scale as 100, divorce only presents as a 73. So it's pretty high up there, but not high as high as the death of a spouse.
If you have any questions on how best to deal with stress during your divorce or any divorce-related questions, please call 805-650-1590 to talk to our panel of experts. Jennifer, you had a point to make?
Well, I think this again, piggybacks on what Elaine was talking about earlier about stress sometimes helping you to reach out. And I actually was watching, I don't know about that particular study, but I was watching a TED Talk recently about stress by Kelly McGonigal, and they did a study, you know, comparing death records. They studied over 30,000 people. And what the findings were was that stress, really, it's how you think about it. If you think about stress as being bad for you, then it is bad for you. But if you think about stress as something that actually, like Elaine was saying, encourages you to reach out for support, that it powers you through, that you have courage to get through that thing or that stressful event, then it actually does something else in the system, and actually in the body, the blood vessels stay open instead of constricting.
Right.
For people who think of stress as something that powers them through, which is, you know, really fascinating research. And actually those people who, even under great amounts of stress, didn't think it was necessarily bad for them, lived longer than the people who thought stress was, you know, were under really little amounts of stress but thought it was bad.
So bottom line, you actually have to do something to deal with the stress. You can't just sit back and say, oh, I'm so stressed out and how to deal with it. So there are definite steps to take, right? Elaine, would you comment on that?
Oh, yeah, I would. You know, could I also add something to the discussion?
Please do.
I wanted to bring up the adverse childhood experiences study, because this also is important for families who are dealing with separation or divorce. And the adverse childhood experience study is a joint study between the Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente. And they've identified 10 childhood stressors, and one of them being parental discord that would be indicated by divorce, separation, or a sense of being abandonment during childhood. But essentially, these indicators, when they did the study, they found that if you had four or more indicators, so a person said, oh, yes, I did experience childhood neglect or emotional abuse, or one of my family members was an alcoholic, and my parents got a divorce, and I witnessed domestic violence. So you'd have four right there. And many times when families are facing divorce or separation, it's not just the parental discord that's happening. So what they found in the study, which was shocking to them when they looked and they compared the health outcomes, that if you had an ACE score of four or more, you would have significantly higher rates of heart disease and diabetes than those with an ACE score of zero. Your incidence of chronic pulmonary lung disease increased by 390%.
Wow.
Depression, 460%. It goes on and on. I won't go through all the details.
That alone is depressing, right?
Yes. Well, yes, it is. But I think it's also, if we have this information, then this is really in the physiology of our body. Mm-hmm. And that's why in TRI we believe so strongly that interventions that help with stress, and I think it's really interesting that most of you and even our caller mentioned exercise is something that helps them. And when we move the body physically, it can help reduce our stress. But there's also ways that we can pay really mindful attention to sensations of well-being that really work with the physiology of our body to bring us back into our resilient zone, which actually causes a cascade of the positive hormones in our system that come from the release that happens from accessing what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, or the break of the nervous system, that helps us feel better in mind, body, and spirit. So it's not just talking about the problem. It's actually physically doing something
right,
to change what's happening on the inside. And I think that something like the ACE study and the other two studies that Jennifer and Lisa mentioned, you know, are really emblematic of how we as a society and as individuals, how one by one we can start changing this by looking at different ways we can help our body than help our mind and our spirit.
That's very, very useful information. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Call 805-650-1590 to talk to our panel of experts today.
Are you contemplating divorce? Maybe you've already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process, or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next. Well, we have the answer for you. The second Saturday Divorce Workshop, Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from experts who have guided others through divorce. Workshops are held at 2625 Townsgate Road, Suite 330, Westlake Village, on the second Saturday of each month from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810 or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810. If you're looking for workshop locations other than Westlake Village, check out the website at wife.org. That's wife.org. Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. ZonderFamilyLaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email Lisa at ZonderFamilyLaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas.
We have two special guests in the studio today, marriage family therapist Jennifer Burton, and we have Elaine Miller-Karras, a social worker who's on the line. Ladies, I have a question. I mentioned the TRM earlier, the Trauma Resilience Model. Please tell us more about that. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll say a little bit about that model. That model, the Trauma Resiliency Model, is a clinical model. So we really teach clinicians a skill-based model using 9 specific skills to assist people with processing through traumatic and stressful experiences and events. And really the model focuses on, as Elaine was talking about earlier, focuses on stabilizing the nervous system and reducing or preventing symptoms of traumatic stress and actually resolving through, like what Elaine was talking about earlier, we teach completion of defensive responses and different skills to help somebody work that through their system so it really feels over and finished.
Right. Elaine?
Well, and the community resiliency model, it takes six of the skills of the trauma resiliency model as a wellness practice to teach not only the clients of mental health professionals or medical professionals, but also can be taught by community members to other, to their families, to their wider community. We had a large project that was funded by the Mental Health Services Act of the State of California in San Bernardino County that we're almost about to complete. And we did an evaluation, a research project about the skills. And the people who participated in our study at the end and 3 to 6 months later, they had decreases, statistically significant decreases in depression and anxiety and also hostility indicators, kind of going to that comment that one of the previous callers made about the anger that she felt. So we are seeing from our preliminary research that there's a real value in helping to stabilize the nervous system, but most importantly, that these skills are really simple and that even little children can learn to learn the skills to help themselves.
How do they do that? In other words, how can education about these models help families going through a separation or divorce?
I'll go ahead and answer a little bit, and then Elaine, let you jump in. Really, that education about the ways body and mind are impacted by stress can help remove some of the criticism and blame. And so, like in our model, we talk about it as biology versus mental weakness, because people can often feel like weakened or there's something wrong with them that they can't cope with what's going on in their lives, especially when it comes to separation and divorce. And it can be worked with, we can work with stress in a somatic or body-based way to help people sense into that resiliency or their ability to bounce back. And like what Elaine was saying with the community resiliency model pieces, it's really like teaching somebody how to fish. And sometimes when we go through things like separation and divorce, I know when I went through mine, things felt very out of control. And by learning these skills, it really helps have some sense of control of what's happening inside, and that I can actually sense into the places that are resilient and that have that capacity to bounce back.
Right,
and
right.
It gives me more strength to move through whatever it is that's going on. And Elaine, I'll...
Well, I also think is that sometimes we, the mistaken view that children are not impacted by what's happening to the adults in their life, and of course we know that's absolutely not true. And so it's really important for parents and the significant others of children whose parents are going through a trying time to really pay attention to them and to help them in ways that can help them come back into their resilient zone by doing things that are normalizing for children. For example, we know that even if things are chaotic, you can have a regular dinner hour. And even though that's not necessarily part of our model, we know that that really helps children. We also have learned that with kids, they often protect their parents. And if they see that their parents are suffering, they sometimes don't talk to their parents about the extent of how they're suffering. So to make time during your day, no matter how stressful it is for you, to sit down with your children and to check in with them is so important. And then there's specific things that the children can learn just like the adults. And we have a lot of kids that use the iChill app that have shared with us that it has been very helpful for them.
We've opened the line on 805-650-1590 to all divorce-related questions. We're dealing specifically with coping with stress. But if you have any other question related to any issue of divorce, please call that number, 805-650-1590. Jerry, let's get back to the nuts and bolts of the finances when dealing with divorce. What are some of the more commonly overlooked financial issues?
One of the biggest things that I see is not addressing the tax issues. We touched upon that a little bit with some of the earlier calls we got in. But the tax doesn't have to be addressed to get your agreement. So sometimes it just isn't included because it's not required. But it's big shock later when you get that tax bill at the end of the year. So I think it's very important to, before you reach a final settlement agreement, if one's getting some assets, particularly if you're selling a house or taking part or all of the other party's retirement plans, those are two common issues that could trigger a tax. And in some cases, depending on the amount, it could be a very significant tax. And with retirement accounts, not only a tax, but also a penalty. So it's important to consult with a divorce professional, your CPA, if you have a tax preparer, just before you get too far into the settlement and agree on something, be sure there won't be any tax surprises.
If you'd like to talk to Jerry, the number to call right now is 805-650-1590.
A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information.
This is Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, 805-650-1590. Lisa, how can you as a divorce attorney and mediator help clients' stress levels?
Well, generally speaking, information helps people feel empowered. And so we try and offer as much information as we can about the divorce process. So we try and tell clients what to expect. We give them a roadmap so they know about hearings coming up and what we'll be arguing. If they're, on the road to settlement, we can talk about strategies. We also ask our clients to consider counseling, and also, sometimes we'll ask our clients to have a clear vision of what their life will look like after divorce and what their objectives are during the divorce process so that we can help work toward those objectives.
Why is it then important for lawyers to have skills to address client stress, and what kind of skills?
Well, it's extremely important, and I'm hoping that our featured panelists today can help enlighten us on this topic as well. But it seems to me that most of my colleagues probably do spend about 30 to 40% of our time when we deal with divorce clients, not necessarily on legal issues, but about 30 to 40% of our time is spent dealing with emotional issues. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times what we'll find, at least some studies suggest, is that the client's satisfaction comes more so from how we establish rapport and trust with the clients, more so than the technical legal advice that we give them. So it's really important that we know how to deal with their emotional states, but unfortunately, most lawyers don't get any specific training in how to deal with emotionality of clients. So I found an interesting article by a Dr. Sanford Portnoy of Massachusetts, and he says that in response to the strong emotionality and affect of clients, sometimes lawyers rely on what they know how to do best, which is they just try to be rational and offer very practical solutions to their clients. And unfortunately, that doesn't always work, because what we'll do is things like point out the consequences of, oh, that's a really bad idea, and here's why, and this is going to be a particular consequence. Or we might give them specific concrete advice. It sounds good in theory anyway, and we try to present specific alternatives to the clients, you know, and so these are very rational approaches. But these three tools that we use most frequently as lawyers, sometimes they just fall short, even though they seem like valuable parts of our repertoire. And so what they do is they make us, you know, put us in a weird position of giving rational advice to people who aren't necessarily rational at the moment. So I think that the therapist can probably tell us what happens in terms of, you know, how to, you know, not miss the mark with the clients, because what we don't want to do is distance them and anger them even more. So if we don't know how to respond to the emotionality of the clients, we can actually make them worse. And that's why we would either recommend that they work with counselors or with a divorce coach, depending again on what process they're in. And maybe Jennifer and Elaine can comment a little bit here.
Well, I mean, I can comment a little bit in terms of the rapport that you were talking about. I think that attunement and the ability to be attuned to whoever's talking with you is so important. And if a client comes in and they're stressed out and they're in the emotionality of everything that's going on, they really won't be able to take in the information that you're trying to impart to them. And, you know, from our perspective, from this model, again, we would call that somebody being bumped out of their resilience zone. So whether they're, you know, stuck on high in anxiety or they're stuck on low in feeling depressed, they may not be able to take that in until you attune to them and until they kind of come back into their resilience zone by using some of the skills that we teach, but also just maybe by you talking to them with and creating that rapport. And then as you see that, you might notice they'll take a deep breath, or they might just sort of seem a little bit more relaxed, or a little bit more even just the system coming online internally for them. And then you can impart the information, because social engagement happens when we're in the resilience zone. That's really how we socially engage, is when we've got a flow going on in our system. But when we're stuck in one place or another, it's really hard to take in any information. And I'm sure Elaine can also elaborate on that.
Well, I think another part of that is, you think about it as an organizing principle, we have kind of three parts of our brain. We have the survival brain, we have the emotional brain, and we have our prefrontal cortex, which are our seat of executive functioning. So when Lisa was talking about the attorney talking to the client who's really in their emotional brain or their survival brain about the rationality of what's happening to them and the logic behind it, as Jennifer said, they can't hear it. My husband happens to be a former divorce attorney. He's now an administrative law judge. So we've talked a lot about this. And I think the other aspect is the attorney in their resilience zone? Because sometimes also that happens, and if the attorney's not in his resilient zone or she's not in her resilient zone, then that's going to also amplify what's happening with the clients. And that's why, you know, we think it's so important that, you know, not both sides of the fence learn how to stabilize the nervous system. But if we're in our survival brain is really meant for immediate action. It's meant for survival, and it's not meant for really being clear and consciously thinking from our executive prefrontal cortex. And that's why that sometimes that attunement that Jennifer talked about doesn't happen, because the person is not even able to bring up and call up things in a rational way for them to be able to listen. But we've really found that when individuals learn about this organizing principle of the brain, it's another way to depathologize their symptoms and their reactions and learn how to track what happens on the inside when they're going into an emotional response or they're in their survival brain, so they can ground themselves a resource to come back into their resilient zone, which then gives them the access of their prefrontal cortex, and they have the best capacity for flexibility, adaptability, and thinking when they're in their prefrontal cortex.
You mentioned a little early on the iChill app. Tell us more about that, please.
Well, the iChill app has information about the model that we're talking about today, but it also has, with a guided voice, which happens to be mine, in a very calm way.
Yes, very calming voice.
Yeah, very calm way, talking about each one of the skills and leading the individual listening to the app in grounding, in resourcing, in the different skills that we offer through the community resiliency model. And it's completely free. It's available on Droids and the iPhone. And people who don't have a smartphone, you can download it through your computer by going to our website. And on the very bottom of our homepage, it gives you a link on how to download it.
Please go ahead and give us your website address.
Yeah, it's www.traumaresourceinstitute.com.
Would you spell that for us, please?
T-R-A-U-M-A,
yes.
R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E, Institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E. Oh, boy, I did that.
Very often people driving, don't hear it, or they mishear what they want to know about, and they don't get it, so that's why I wanted you to spell it.
Yes.
I wasn't testing your spelling skills, of course. But that's between you and me. Now, a question that I have is I've heard terms trauma-informed and resiliency-informed. What is that, that care?
Well, the trauma-informed is exactly what I was just talking about. It's learning about the biology of trauma. There's so much research being done now about the neuroscience of trauma and how it affects the brain and the body. And so all around the country now, people in the mental health field are talking about the importance of helping people understand about trauma and all the domains of the human existence that are impacted by trauma. Because like we talked about with the caller, she's having insomnia. That's a physical side effect of traumatic or highly stressful events. But it also can affect our thinking. When we are very stressed out or we've had a trauma, we can become forgetful. We can have distorted thinking. We can have paranoid thinking. But it also affects our behaviors. Sometimes when people are in the midst of divorce, they sometimes do things they've never done before, like maybe yelling, screaming, or even in more extreme cases, hitting or being violent towards others or to their children.
Well, that's what I was going to put to Lisa, and I guess we could open the panel to that, how to deal with irrational clients. So who would like to start the ball rolling with that one? We have about 5 minutes left.
I think maybe let the mental health professionals talk about that first. And
sure,
I'll add.
Go ahead. Jennifer.
Well, one of the parts in the app, actually, when you first download it, there's a little button up at the top called Amp Down Now. And it has a list of about 10 things that maybe some of us have even heard about doing before. Like, some of us are told, oh, you can count or you can do this. But sometimes when we're really bumped out and somebody says, hey, calm down, or stop being anxious, can you just stop yourself by just saying that?
No.
No,
absolutely
right?
Not.
We can't. So I need to really do something with that energy that's going on inside. And if I'm feeling really stressed out, I can tell you, my 17-year-old son does this a lot when he stresses out over his homework or school or whatever's going on in his life. One of the amp down strategies is to push against a wall. And by pushing against a wall and noticing your muscles engaging, kind of like Elaine was saying with exercise, it's that moving the muscles that actually can cause us to then take a deep breath and sort of everything settles back down. And it's really about working with the energy in the body instead of saying, just stop being that way and I need you to calm down.
All right, so you, in your own personal situation, when your son is all stressed, writing exams, tests, mm-hmm. quizzes, whatever, mm-hmm. you tell him to do those exercises?
I have it before, in the past, he's 17 now, but probably since he's been about, 13, 14, I might have invited him to push against a wall.
Uh-huh.
But now sometimes I'll walk in and he's already doing it.
Of course, you're not pushing him against the wall.
No,
right?
I'm not pushing him against the wall. Sometimes I might feel, no, but I won't
yes,
do that.
Of course, yeah.
No, he will do it on himself. And actually, because he's using the skills, he's actually done some of the work of grounding, which is another skill in the app. He's done that with friends over the phone who will call and say, I'm really sad and everything's making me sad.
Uh-huh.
He'll actually help them on the phone because he hears me talk about it all the time.
This is very valuable for parents with teenage kids going through.
Absolutely, because our kids really feel what's going on, right? And, you know, I've been, my divorce was many years ago, but my kids still sometimes feel the impact of that. And you know, then you heap school stress and things like that on top of it. And I think that's where these skills come in. And he has the app actually on his computer. And so he'll go to the app and use some of the skills for himself in that way. And Elaine, I don't know whether you want to jump in and say some more.
I think what you're saying is exactly correct, and I think that's the whole point. I always say, and we want to be obsolete in our clients' lives. Right. We want them to learn the skills so they don't need us any longer. And because if you can use the self-help, and isn't that beautiful that her son is not only using it for himself but sharing it with his friends? That's the whole point of our nonprofit.
This is amazing. A lot of us sitting in this studio have teenage kids, and I'm sure many of our listeners are in the same position. This is very, very valuable advice. We kind of run out of time, but I just wanted to remind you that the number in the studio to call is 805-650-1590. We're on the air every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Lisa Zonder, divorce attorney specializing in mediation and the collaborative divorce process with paralegal Sharon. Jerry Cohn, a divorce CPA, and our special guests have been Jennifer Burton and Elaine Miller-Karras. I'd like to thank you very much for your time and the amazing advice that you've given both of you. Thank you so much,
Jennifer. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Last words from you, Elaine, if you can do it in 10 seconds. Summarize what you've said in 10.
Well, is that, you know, track your nervous system, go use the iChill, and you can stabilize yourself and be much better in mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you. We'll be back next week at the same time. I'm Colin Flaxman.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonder Style.
This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.
We're News Talk 1590 KVTA.
Is this good or is it bad?
Ventura, Simi Valley.
Hello there.
Ojai.